listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. As I mention all the time, guys, we are a viewer-supported station, so if you like the content and what the stations are trying to do, please, if you can, reach into your pocket, throw a few dollars in the kitties. I know the operators would much appreciate it. To say it's my pleasure and my honor today to be joined by this lady would be an understatement. I have with me today Laura Lynn Tyler-Thompson, and how do I describe this lady? I'd have to describe her as a fireball, okay? A lady with so much courage that it astounds me. Laura does a regular show 5 days a week, I believe you're on, and is filling in all kinds of other stories. I don't know where you get your energy from, Laura, but I applaud it. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on today. I know there's all kinds of things going on in British Columbia that we could talk about today, seeing we're both in this beautiful province together.
I know
we wanted to talk a little bit about Soji 123 and the absolute gender insanity we see going on inside the coffers of our government. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much, Barry. It's an honor to be here and back at you with what you said about courage. You're also doing that. You are a very courageous person, putting all kinds of good guests on with good information and letting people know what they need to care about right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, let's talk about Soji 123, Laura, because, you know, there's things that absolutely drive me nuts in the world, and then there's things that absolutely drive me insane. And Soji 123 is something that drives me insane. What they're doing to our children right now in the school systems is something that drives me insane. And I know it drives you insane. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the latest show that I put up last night, yesterday, was between it was about the two fathers. So there's a father here in British Columbia. And he has, of course, the courts have ruled against him, and they have transitioned his daughter against his wishes. She was 14 years old. She was allowed to make the decision to go on to cross-sex hormones, and there was not a thing that the father could do about it. And so last night, I joined him with another guy, Jeff Younger, and he is from Texas. And this fellow had the misfortune of having a wife who wanted one of their twin boys to be a girl. And so she started telling this little boy that he was a girl since before he was 3 years old. And I don't know what kind of mental health problem that is, but that is just nuts. And so she began indoctrinating this little guy. And the dad kind of finally realized that he was shooting a video one time. And he said, what are you saying? He says, well, I'm a girl. And he says, why are you saying you're a girl? Well, my mommy says I'm a girl. And so all kinds of crazy things are going on in this world. It actually has become like sort of a status symbol or a popularity thing to be transgender. And so now even parents of all things, mothers who should be protecting their children from all kinds of insanity, are now participating. So it's pretty weird, you know. It's very strange, and we've still got this. Whoops! Hope I didn't miss you there. We still have the SOGI going through the schools. However, I have good news to report, Barry, and that is that because we have made such a stink, there are numerous teachers now saying that they will not touch the subject, they won't broach the subject, they won't bring it up, and this is, I believe, a victory of some sorts because people are more afraid because we have painted the picture, we've put information out there, and they're not as willing to begin indoctrinating boys and girls, telling them that they can swap out their sex for a different sex, and that is just nuts. And so the word is beginning to get out there.
It's insanity. I mean, I think, did I wake up in another world?
Totally. Laura,
I was a little boy. I mean, we were boys and we were girls. You know, boys did what boys did and girls did what girls did. And now I just can't believe what I see going on in the schools where children are just being confused at such a young age when they're the most impressionable in their lives and being, you know, indoctrinated by their teachers. Well, when I went to school as a child, Laura, I mean, I respected my teachers and we listened to what they said. You know, we kind of set them up on a pedestal, right? And that's because of the respect we were taught to show to our elders. And now we have children that are being taught at 4 and 5 and 6 years old. I mean, I just had a look at the United Nations, the World Health Organization, just released a program for sex education for children. And this is what some governments want to mandate as a sex education program for their countries, where they're talking about teaching children about masturbation and pornography at the ages of 4 and 5 years old. Well, folks, have we gone crazy as a world, Laura? I really have to take a lot of walks. I'm finding myself taking a lot of walks in the woods right now just to try and maintain my sanity, because this is really, it's just absolutely out of control. And it's only such a small sector of society that's doing this. They've hijacked, the medical profession's been hijacked. And we got to get it back, man, because this is really, it's just nuts.
Yeah, 100%. And you're talking about initiatives that are coming down from the United Nations, right within the United Nations documents. They talk about this, about sexualizing children at a very, very young age. And I don't know, like, how this whole pedophile thing is happening, but we have to face that British Columbia, Barry, we're not in good waters here. In British Columbia, we've got a big problem because it is a really hot crime spot. And I was reading something just the other day about how a few years back they were beginning to hone in on people in West Vancouver who would take kids out on boats, and they were able to get children through the Ministry of Children and Families of vulnerable kids would be found who would not be noticed to be missing. And then they would take them out on boats, and basically horrendous things happened out there. That was very shocking. And in some respects, you go, that cannot possibly be true. But then we know that we have the Picton Farm issue that went on here in Vancouver. Now, Picton Farm may have been shut down, and they may have put Willie Picton in jail, but the only one they got was Willie Picton. Are you kidding me? We know full well it would have taken much more than Willie Picton to put this together, if, in fact, he had much to do with it at all, because Willie was kind of, he was a scapegoat, so to speak. They did not even interview, other key people that could have been part of that. And so we have this growing pedophile mystery that has been going on for many of us who are normal people. We can't understand it. We think, how could this be possible? And yet we know that BC has been the subject and the target of numerous investigations with respect to pedophiles, and that coming right from our prime minister, we do not know what to make of everything that we're actually finding out now. They're finding out that they're trying to destroy the video and all evidence of what took place at the video at Picton Farms, and you wonder, well, why do they want to destroy evidence? On something that clearly it is not done. Clearly this is not a finished thing. And so all of this is about the assault on children. SOGI is about the assault on children. SOGI is about sexualizing kids before it's necessary. Why do you got to talk to kids about my two moms, my two dads? so-and-so's mom is a mom but used to be a dad. I mean, kids don't even need to know this. When I was growing up, we didn't talk about stuff like that, and I turned out perfectly fine. And it really is an assault that is – it's a global assault on children.
It is, and it drives me nuts, Laura, that people can't stand up against this. You know, if I was to go back 50 years right now and my parents woke up in this world with their friends and their neighbors, they would all be marching down to the offices of executives that are putting this out. Any TV station, any mainstream media that's promoting this, they'd be walking with pitchforks looking for them. But now we see society is completely turned around. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight, Laura. You know, it's something that they have slowly but surely, incrementally brought into our society. This is, you know, if society experiences a major change in a short period of time, it will garnish people's attention to that change. But if you slowly take a little piece here, a little piece there, over the years, all of a sudden they've got a big piece. And boy, have they turned us upside down. Everything that was good is now bad. Everything that was bad is now good. We really got to turn the ship around. Or what we're looking at right now for our children is just terrifying, Laura. It really is.
It really is. And I think that moms have to be more aware of what's going on. I couldn't believe, you know, my husband and I were watching a series on Netflix last night. And it would be a series that up until, so we're quite a few episodes in. Absolutely no sign of, you know, weird stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, episode 8 or whatever, maybe it's even in the second season, you've got this full out, you know, male on male thing going on. And, you know, I had thought, well, I would have recommended that to my kids to watch until now. And now it's off the list, you know. Everything has to have, you know, all kinds of weirdness in it. And sexuality is being, you know, shown more and more with violence attached. The high percentage that any kind of, you know, sex that's shown in videos is accompanied by violence is now something that is very alarming. And so what will our world look like in 10 to 15 years with all of this? What will kids be and young men, you know, be sort of changing the chemical makeup of their brain and what the, you know, the responses are, what they react to? It's just very sad. So yes, we just have to guard our televisions. And one thing, if I had to do parenting over, Barry, this is what I would do. I would limit the television to virtually nothing, and I would know exactly what they were watching at all times. When I was growing up, I do not remember seeing television, you know, kids TV shows that were, you know, teaching me anything bad that I can recall. I'm sure they had their agenda going, but it wasn't as out there and in your face as it is now. Now, kids TV shows and all of the entertainment people, I used to let my kids watch, you know, she would be very well known if I were to say her name. And it was kind of like before, you know, having breakfast, getting ready for school and everything. And once in a while, I'd kind of go, wow, that is a little inappropriate. And, you know, you'd have that thought, but then you had to make the sandwiches because the kids got to get out the door. I would change all of that. I would just absolutely be more aware because I had to do some unindoctrination as my kids were in their 20s because I realized that actually they had embraced some really humanistic ways of looking at things. And yeah. So we have to be on guard for our kids.
Best thing I ever did in my life, Laura, was throw my TV out the door.
Good for you.
I did that about 6 years ago. I cut the wire to mainstream TV. And I'll tell you, folks, it's something that you have to do because nothing coming out of the TV. They don't call it programming for a reason, Laura.
Yeah.
And everything that's going on in our mainstream is just a form of indoctrination. I mean, it's completely controlled. We're never going to get real information out of there. I go to the internet and I research and I cross-reference stuff. Of course, we know there's a lot of disinformation on the internet, but there's a lot of truth out there. And it's really important, I find, that you weed through the disinformation. And if you look hard enough, you'll find the truth. And boy, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
It's about life right now, folks, is get that TV out of your house. It's an evil, evil entity. What's coming out of that tube is not there for the benefit of your children. It's there to destroy your children. And people got to realize that, Laura, that what we're seeing right now is an all-out attack on the family. The bottom line of what I see going on in our society right now, the bottom line is the attack on the family. And once you take that family unit out of any society, and if you study history, I'm not a historian, but I've looked at it a bit, and any time that you've taken that family unit out of a society, that society will collapse. Yes. And that's exactly what we see happening right now in Canada and around the world.
It sure is.
We've got a big pile of problems right now, but I don't think we're past the point of no return, Laura. I honestly believe.
No, we have to have hope. Don't be Barry.
I think we're turning the corner right now. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you some encouraging things to me is that, you know, when we started 3 years ago fighting this SOGI, no one even knew about it. In fact, we would have to convince them that we were telling the truth. Now everybody knows about it. And as I said, the teachers are even, you know, some of them, you know, not even willing to go there because parents have been more bold in saying, please don't teach my kids this stuff. But and now we've moved into a new level where they've got these bans on conversion therapy. And I don't know how much you know about that, Barry, but this is a real propaganda that the left is putting out, the liberals are putting forward, and it's so well done that even a lot of conservative party members will not even speak about this, you know, against this conversion therapy ban because they make it sound like you're a homophobe and a transphobe or whatever. So the conversion therapy ban, did you want me to share a little bit about that for your viewers or have you touched this subject?
Yeah, please do, Laura. Please
do. Okay, so a conversion therapy, they want to put in a ban so that all, get this, really, that all LGBTQ people cannot get any true help because it will be illegal for a psychologist, psychiatrist, for a clergy member, or even for parents. With Bill C-8, it will make it possible for parents to be put in jail if they do not affirm a child that says they want to change their sex. So you have a 13-year-old going through some emotional problems. Maybe she doesn't feel pretty like the others. Maybe she's been rejected by a boy. She decides she's heard at school for many years now she can become a boy. So she comes up to you and she says, you know, I've decided, Mom, that I'm going to be a boy. For her, in all of her emotions and everything, that is just way easier than being a girl and getting rejection and she's not feeling good. So let's say those are, I mean, there can be many reasons that something like this happens, but that is actually a scenario that has played out. And so you as a parent say, oh my goodness, no, we're going to go and get you some therapy. No, you are beautiful as a girl and just, you know, give it time because we do know that the antidote to having gender dysphoria actually comes about through puberty. Puberty settles down everything. It puts it realigns you. And, you know, it's kind of a tumultuous time, but you got to get through puberty. And we know that 92% of most kids who feel gender dysphoria will come through and feel fantastic. So right. What a conversion therapy ban says is that during that time when kids are really in a state of confusion, that it will be illegal to tell them to love themselves as they are. It will be illegal to tell them that it is a scientific, biological fact that you cannot change your sex, but rather that you learn to love yourself as you are. And if you're a boy, you don't take, you know, cross-sex hormones that stop your voice from changing. And if you're a girl, you don't take testosterone to make your voice deep. Because by the time you're 18, 19, or 20, you might have thought that was a really bad idea because we all wanted to do crazy things when we were young, be Superman or whatever, and we found out that that's not possible. So you don't make life-altering decisions like going on cross-sex hormones when you're a teenager. So this Bill C-8 will take away, let's say, a psychologist who wants to tell a kid to love themselves and to not go the route of transitioning. No. They could lose their credentials. They could be fined tens of thousands of dollars and face this is, you know, the really scary part, face going to jail because they did not affirm a child in their confusion. So what we really have is talk therapy is being banned. We're not talking – they make it sound like you're going to put electrodes on a kid and, you know, we're banning conversion therapy. And apparently in the old days – I know nothing really about this, except I've heard from a psychotherapist that that was banned decades ago. Nobody does it. You don't put electrodes on and try to, you know, scare somebody. All of these weird things. What they are really doing is banning anyone from talking about the issue and talking to a child and telling them to love themselves as they are. And this will even put parents in jail. And the only one brave enough to speak about this in the leadership race has been Derek Sloan. And so my hat's really off to him. I find him to be one of the most powerfully courageous possible leaders of the Conservative Party that I've ever seen.
You just took the words out of my mouth, because that was my next question to you, Laura, is what are your thoughts on Derek Sloan? I heard him on your show. I've been listening to him talk. I'm very hesitant to support any politician, because we've all been duped before.
Yep.
We know they lie through their teeth. They'll tell you anything they want you to hear to get elected. And we've seen so many examples of that in the past. But this man really strikes me as speaking from his heart. And I don't see that.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't see that in a lot of politicians. But that's the feeling I get off this man, is that he's legitimate, Laura. And, boy, do we need him right now in this country, because everything he's saying is resonating with me right to the core.
You know, I'm looking at a quote that he recently made, and he said, "When we talk about the culture war, it's life or death. It is freedom or slavery. That's what's at stake." What kind of politician is saying this stuff? I mean, he's reading, you know, the mail of our generation. This is life or death. We need, you know, freedom. We cannot commit ourselves to slavery. And when he went against this boldly, out loud, against this conversion therapy ban, I was stunned. He also said he would declare the Muslim Brotherhood to be a terrorist organization.
Amen.
Well, that's what Donald Trump wants to do. That's what other places in the world have already done. This Muslim Brotherhood group, you know, was started by Hassan al-Banna. And basically, he said that their philosophy is to dominate, not to integrate, not to become part of a nice, you know, culture, but actually to dominate the culture and to put in only Islamic features, laws, and ideology into a land. And so here's Derek Sloan saying that he would declare them to be a terrorist organization. Unbelievable. This guy is golden. And, you know, he gets so much backlash. That's how you know he's the real deal, Barry, because he takes it on the chin for what he says. He almost got kicked out of caucus for going against Dr. Tam and asking if she's working for China or working for Canada.
He's got the biggest apple I've ever seen in my life, Laura.
Right? Dr. Tam,
Dr. Tam.
I know there's lots of rumors out there, Barry. I have no idea. I sure don't like anything that Dr. Tam has to say, because it's all connected with the WHO, the World Health Organization, right?
Well,
she's tied in with Dr. Fauci. They are bought and paid for. They are they have basically been bribed. And they've got backroom deals galore going on. So they can't tell the truth. So when a simple cure like hydroxychloroquine and zinc actually works, when they keep debunking every negative thing that comes out about hydroxychloroquine has been debunked, and they keep making it, you know, and showing its efficacy, that it will stop COVID-19 in its tracks when combined with zinc. That is the truth. But most people in British Columbia actually do not know that. They believe the mainstream, because this is what the mainstream does. It'll put some study that is completely fraudulent, badly done, and they'll put that study out. When they debunk it, they never talk about it again. They never say, oh, yeah, by the way, apparently hydroxychloroquine is good if you get the virus, right? So we are just being hoodwinked and duped by all manner, and we need the wisdom of Almighty God to help us get through this next season.
Boy, do we ever, you know, I sit back and I look at this whole scamdemic that they pulled on us, Laura, and it baffles me that people cannot think for themselves, that people are so now controlled by government narratives that they refuse to question it. I tell people, you've got to question everything, because the same people that are bringing you COVID-19 are the same people that brought you 9/11.
That's right.
The same people, just a different group, but the same people.
And you know, Barry, if you dare to go against it, then what happens is you get fired, or you get in trouble, or you socially ostracized, or socially terrorized, bullied, you know, online. And so we have to not be afraid of that. We have to lose all of this addiction to approval. I refuse to be addicted to approval. I do not need anyone's approval but God. I really am happy that I have two dogs that love me, and they absolutely do not care how I feel about transgenderism, COVID, Muslim Brotherhood, or any of the strong things that I speak on. They love me no matter what. Icing on the cake is my husband loves me all the time. That's wonderful. If we have these things, we should consider ourselves blessed. But if we must stand alone, we have got to get to the place where we are willing to stand alone. Now, there is a new story. It's just come out, and I want to let you know. Well, it's July 23rd is sort of when this hit. In Ontario, there's a nurse under investigation after her anti-vax and COVID conspiracy social media posts. This is a nurse who's coming out saying, no, 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 all this information on masks and that we should be putting healthy people behind masks, that is not correct. And she's coming out talking about the vaccination. She's coming out talking about the truth of COVID-19, the fake positive COVID-19 tests. Have you seen that conspiracy that it's a conspiracy truth? It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy truth that they have told hundreds of people that they are COVID positive, and those people did not even take the test. Pretty interesting how they would be positive when they didn't take the test.
Yeah, I saw those reports, Laura. You know, yeah. I had a conversation. I sat down with a lady that is a nurse at the hospital here in Paris, and I won't say her name, of course, but she says, you know, Barry, when this first came out, the hospital, we had all these red light warnings, and we set up all these different areas to treat COVID patients because the government told us Trudeau came out and said we're going to see 50,000 to 350,000 deaths to this virus. And she, you know what she says? You could count on your hand how many people we've had in terrorists that were even marginally, you know, jeopardized by this. It's a nothing burger, Laura. Exactly. But it just shows you the power of mainstream media. People have to realize, Laura, that this is coming from the World Health Organization. You don't have to have an army to defeat a country. And what China is doing right now is they're destroying our economy, they're destroying our culture, they're destroying our morality, they're controlling our entertainment industry, they're making our prescription drugs. I mean, and these people do not like us. They're our enemies, yet they'll, you know, they're, everybody's going, hey, you know, we got to have closer ties with China. This is what's coming out of our government. Like I said, you don't need an army to defeat a country. And what China's doing with this virus, what they've done to our economies and our society, is just, it's unbelievable. And it is an absolute nothing burger. There is nothing there, Laura. It is no worse than a bad flu.
Absolutely. Yep. Dr. Zelenko, a leading doctor, has come out. He actually established the hydroxychloroquine protocol, and basically he sees 100% survival rate in low-risk patients and a 99.3% survival rate in high-risk patients. And a high-risk patient is somebody, you know, 60-plus and who has symptoms and comorbidities, you know. So other things wrong, and he can still have a 99.3% survival rate. Now, this guy's been on the front lines treating thousands of COVID. He was in a hot spot where COVID hit hard. And when he used this protocol, he was telling the world. But what do we have? We have Dr. Tam, Dr. Bonnie Henry here in BC, and these doctors across Canada having no idea about, well, not out loud will they talk about hydroxychloroquine when, you know, Dr. Fauci knew all about it back in 2005 when he did these studies. So all of this fakeness, all of this, you know, it's like it's a big scam, because what they really want to do is they're using this. When you look at Agenda 21, I was just listening to this amazing video this morning. And, you know, Barry, all of this stuff is on my Facebook. If people are going, wow, she's talking too fast, I don't know what she's saying, it's like, wow, information overload. I have a lot in my brain, so I'm trying to get it out fast for your listeners. But on my Facebook, I mean, that's where you can find everything that all the information that I'm talking about. I post all the relative stuff, not the mainstream media stuff. And this lady was talking about how Agenda 21 even spoke about how they would need crisis in order to implement certain things that begin to remove our economic abilities, certain things that begin to take away our freedom and our rights and our right to assemble, our right to bear arms, our rights to freely, you know, have autonomy over our bodies. And I'm really concerned about this vaccination. Like, we are the reason I'm so strong about masks is it's just a sign to see who will comply. I had a fight with a guy online last night. Now, he's a good friend. He goes way back, and he's an older fella, and he's a Christian man. And he said, Laura Lynn, why are you talking all about the mask? Like, there's way more important things to go on. I'm an elderly person, and I want people to wear masks around me. And I said, why are you asking people to wear masks around you and to compromise their own healthy immunity systems? If they're around you a long time, they might have to wear a mask for a long time. Why are you doing that? I said, are you sick right now? He said, no. I said, I'm not sick either. Why would I need to wear a mask around you? We're not sick. I have not, to this date, I don't know one person that I actually know who I've ever shaken their hand that has had COVID-19. I've heard about a couple pastors who had it, who had been at the same meeting or something. They came through it. They're fine. I don't know. I have never met those pastors. I only heard about it. I don't actually know one person.
And I could say the same thing. I don't know one single person. And I ask people in Terrace all the time, do you know anybody that's been affected by this? No. Even the word pandemic, Laura, doesn't belong on this at all. A pandemic, if you look at the actual description of a pandemic in the dictionary, it's when a virus affects 12% of the people in your community directly. So when it hits that kind of a level, it's classified as the pandemic. But what happened with the World Health Organization? A week after the news started coming out in China about this, and we saw the videos of people dropping dead on the street, the World Health Organization comes out with a little funding from Bill Gates and describes it as a global pandemic. The fear virus was released. Everybody ran to their houses and hid under their couches. This was just a huge test on the human race. Laura, you know what they've done? They have taken all the people that ran as soon as the word was put out there, they ran and hid, did exactly what the government told them to do. Well, those people have been put on lists, okay?
Right.
And the
they're
people like you and me that are standing against it, we're on another list, Laura. I'm glad I'm on that list because I wouldn't want to be on the other list.
You're right, Barry.
If you don't think we're on a list, Laura, you got your head in the sand. Go ahead.
Totally, Barry. And, you know, the social credit score that they put the people in China under, right? So if you're a complier and if you do all what's right and they don't catch you saying nothing bad on WeChat and all that, you get a certain score, right? But if you are not following the rules and not, you know, doing exactly as they want in their godless society, then you get on the bad list. And those people are, I was just reading an article that they're beginning to crack down again on Christians a lot in China. And they're beginning to, you know, you're on that bad list. So you can't buy and sell at certain places. You can't operate business in a certain way. And here we are. They're actually separating the sheep from the goats right now. And I guess I'm more of a goat if I'm bucking the system. I'm not a sheep. I'm certainly not following along. But I know in biblical standards, we actually would like to be sheep because then we get shepherded. So anyways, I got to get my analogy straight on all of that. I'll have to sort that out. But, you know, Barry, once they figure out that, you know, if everybody will simply comply with vaccines, well, then you have control of the population. First of all, depopulation can happen. Second of all, if they want to start bringing in AI, I don't know if you saw that terrifying clip of a doctor. She's in the States, so she's literally put her reputation on the line because what they're putting now into, they want to move forward to begin putting together these vaccinations that adhere to your DNA so that in the future, they think it's super cool because this is what they want to have happen. You walk into your home and you think, oh, we need to turn the lights on. And the lights go on because you thought about it. We need the oven to turn on. The oven turns on because you thought about it. But what this lady is saying, as they are getting closer and closer to implementing this kind of technology, she says, but what about the messaging that's coming the other way. If they can get you to have messages going out, then they can get messages going into your brain. And I think it's all coming down to, that's why the mark of the beast, that God didn't want us to take it. I always grew up and I thought, what's wrong with the mark of the beast? Really, like you get to buy and sell, like you kind of use this chip that's in you know, on your forehead or on your palm. And that'll make it easier. Like, what's the big bad deal about it? I think the big bad deal that's really coming to light is that it's going to alter the brain, that what they are intending to use and to implement into our bodies will alter our brain. And so this is just fascinating stuff, you know, and those that will hear and have ears to hear, let them hear.
Well, you know what, add to the conversation a little bit about nanotechnology, and I don't know how much you've looked into that, Laura, but the gentleman I'm actually going to have a conversation with you tomorrow, he'll open your ears a little bit about that. Wow. You know, they can actually make a radio transmitter so small that you can't visibly see them with a human eye. So what is to stop them from adding that to a vaccine? And what would say a certain range of frequencies, what kind of action would that have on this nano-sized receiver that they planted in your body without your knowledge? You got to look into Morgellons disease. I heard about that 10 years ago, Laura, and I kind of shrugged it off.
Now, what is that?
That's where they implant a receiver in your body without you actually knowing about it. They're implanting receivers in your body via nanotechnology. Now, what I say to people, Laurie, the most important thing that we got to remember is that the technology that we know about now, which baffles me, it blows my mind, stuff that's coming out. We got to remember always that they have technology that's 15 years ahead of that. So if we project our brains can't comprehend it, Laura. If we project ourselves 15 years down the road, what exactly do they have in their little box of shiny tools waiting for that one day? You know, people tell me that they're going to rise up against the government with their guns. You know what, Laura? That if we fall into that trap, we are going to lose, okay?
Yeah.
And mark my words, because I honestly believe, I know I got a little off subject here, but not really, because it all ties together with what we're talking about, that nanotechnology and what they can do with some of the toys they put away in their little shiny box we don't know about is what I worry about.
Wow.
And it scares me. Roger Landry, folks, I don't know if you know Roger Landry. He's been on my shows lots of times. When he gets talking about this stuff, he actually doesn't scare me, but he really he's on top of this. He was involved in U.S. intelligence, so he's got a great, great deal of understanding what they can do with nanotechnology. And it's just, it's more than most people can even begin to comprehend. They don't even know about this, you know, that they can do this. If they can do that with vaccines, what can they put into the chemtrails that they're spraying over top of our heads every day, Laura?
Totally.
You know, those are metal-based contaminants that they're spraying in.
I mean, I don't know how you feel, Barry, but lately, I said, do you feel foggy? Like, you know, like, I just feel like, you know, foggy in my head. And once in a while, you know, going for a drive and getting out of the city or something like that, like, I feel like I can breathe again. I'm thinking, well, I wonder, you know, we're down right in the heart of downtown, you know, New Westminster. And then of course, when you're driving, you see all these new, you know, the new G5 towers going up, 5G towers. And you just begin thinking about all that we've had, and maybe vaccinations. The more that I'm learning about vaccinations and what we've done to our kids, and, you know, you just trust government. So maybe we're all getting over that. We're just not going to trust government. We're not just going to say, yes, you're an authority, so you know best. And I was raised to trust authority. I was raised to respect and honor those who are above you, government, and all of that. But all of a sudden, we see, you know, the third ethics violation coming down with Trudeau. And we understand this guy is, you know, I don't know whether he's just had too much weed. And so what it is that he is not, he doesn't really care. He doesn't really have values. And I think that's true about him, right? He's just a real free spirit and he doesn't understand the gravity of what he's done. So he doesn't have integrity. But he is really ruining our country and he's spending money like, you know, a sieve. And it's just shocking. Everything is just shocking. So now I don't have trust of authority. I don't have trust of Trudeau. And, you know, I had lost a lot of trust in the Conservative Party of Canada through everything that I've been through as well. But I really am putting my hope that, you know, that Derek Sloan, if people would just vote for him, if they voted for no one else, if they can get those cards in and put Derek Sloan as number one, I think, you know, maybe we can have some restoration of our country, much like the U.S. has had with Donald Trump stepping in and doing some very, very good things. But look at the anarchy happening down there, right?
Yeah. It scares me that, I think a lot of Canadians, honestly, are so apathetic that they're not going to be willing to get involved in this until it really, really starts to direct them affect them directly. And if it gets to that point, then it might be past the point where we can do something about it. Our country right now is at a turning point. It's a tipping point. People don't realize it, Laura, that, you know, the influence of the United Nations, what's going on with our economy, what's going on with our borders, what's going on with our culture. We're under attack from multiple different avenues right now. And if it keeps going like this, where are we going to be in 3 or even 4 years from now? The amount of money that Trudeau has spent on COVID alone is enough. I mean, the country will never recover from this. It's not designed to recover. It's designed to eventually collapse the economy. And then, Laura, what's going to happen? They're going to bring in a one-world currency, the mark of the beast, the cashless society. We see all these big pushes now coming.
Yeah.
How they're glamorizing the RFID chip as the next cool thing to do. You don't have to carry a wallet. You can just go around anywhere and open doors and house and turn on your lights. Boy, this is ever cool. Well, a lot of society is going to grab that and run with it. Unfortunately, they don't realize the implications and the destruction of our privacy.
Yeah.
It's all coming right now, and it's coming at light speed. And it's, you know, I'm terrified by a lot of this, but in the same muscle I'm not, Lord, because I start my day with a prayer. I know that there's things I can't do anything about. All we can do right now is try and shine the light on the evil as best we can, because you know when rats get a light shine on them, they run and they hide. And I'm seeing a change in people's attitude now, Lord. I really am. And it's inspiring.
I am too.
People that are involving in conversations with me now that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they'd just call me a wackadoodle, you know, and they're not calling me a wackadoodle so much anymore. So I am seeing a change in people's attitude where this absolute corruption in our government is so in your face. If you don't see it now, Laura, then I don't know what to say. If Trudeau gets away with this, then we've lost our country, in my opinion.
One of my guests this week, Barry, said that they believe that we're on the cusp of the third great awakening. And I was very encouraged to hear that. I have had some moments of disappointment because I was hoping that the church, and by the church, I don't mean the people, I thought the leaders, you know, would kind of rise up and they would be front and center. They would be speaking. They would actually have a voice in the, you know, in the marketplace of the world, and that they would lead and guide. And the largest part, I have not found that. I have found a few courageous pastors who will lead and speak, but even they kind of, you know, they get a little bit scared to keep on going because they get backlash from the other pastors, or they see that nobody's really with them. And so, you know, recently I had a tough conversation with one, and I said, I'm just so sorry to tell you, but like you virtually have no voice anymore. You haven't spoken when this and this happened. You didn't speak when this happened. You didn't speak when this happened. Nobody even thinks you're there. And now, you know, when it would be time, there's such a groundswell that's come up against us because the bullies have gotten so strong that, you know, we're hard pressed to have that voice in the marketplace. But having said all that, the people, the real church, not necessarily the leaders who are kind of, you know, wow, I mean, this is their livelihood too, right? They don't want to lose everything. But the people who are in the church, and also the people who will not be conformist to society, who have some sort of common sense, there is an absolute awakening. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Barry, and you're absolutely right. That is a very good sign. It's not quite enough of the people to make, you know, to have such an uprising that there's a change at this time that I can see. But but there is an awakening. So if things continue to get worse and worse and worse, maybe in and of itself, that is the answer, because sooner or later, the tipping point is reached where one person says, oh, I can handle it. I don't care about wearing a mask. I don't care about all this. I don't care if I don't have to go to church. I don't care if I can't buy or sell at, you know, certain places or, you know, well, why would they not be able to? They still can, but they just don't care about some of the things that are being implemented. But at what is that point? Is it forced vaccinations? And some people will not even care about that. But I think that there will be quite an uproar over something like that that happened. What about when you can't read from the Bible anymore? What about when other religions that we know are not religions of freedom and free will are given more place in society than we are? Is that the point where we'll rise up? I do think it's coming.
Yeah, it, when you have Sharia, a law, creeping into a society, when you have it all through our government, when we see the Muslim Brotherhood at work in Canada right now and our government not standing against it, it only, you know, you only have to rationalize that, of course, they're on board with this. Right. I've read a good part of the Quran myself, Laura, and, you know, to say that that's, that kind of religion is anywhere compatible with Western civilization, well, you'd have to have your head in the sand, because it's right. completely against everything that we stand for. And yet we see the big push. We see all the MPs in our government now with their backgrounds in the Muslim Brotherhood, direct ties to CARE and all these other organizations. And you think they've got our best interests in mind. Boy, I'll tell you, people better wake up to it, because it's a real threat, Laura.
100%. And do you know what I think it is, Barry? It's the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. So when you love money, you'll sell your soul. When you love money, you get kickbacks. You get little things on the side that nobody knows about. You get goodies and perks. And so as long as you go along with one certain group's stuff, you get the goodies. Well, it takes a strong man of conviction, integrity, and character to stand against that. And unfortunately, we are lacking that kind of person. When is the day when somebody will go to Parliament and they will not back down on their convictions and their principles for money, and they will not be bought, and they will not be bribed, and they will not be able to be blackmailed, because they will be men of integrity? The problem some of us can see is that, and this is going on, is that people get into power and then they get something on them. Like the bad guys get something on them. They get a picture, they get a video, they catch them in a bad moment, right? And then they're had, because they can't face the music and go, wow, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot, which is what everyone should do. If anyone's ever blackmailing you, you should just, you know, you got to just stand up to it and say, I won't be blackmailed. And yeah, I guess I'll just face my sins then. That would be integrity, but they don't do that. They want to keep their position and they want to go along with the flow. So now we have people that, you know, you get money if you're going to go along with an ideology or promote a religion or promote a way of thinking in the land or a worldview. You get money if you go this way. Well, you know, unfortunately, Christians, we don't go around paying everyone to believe what we believe. We believe that you got to choose it out of your own heart and soul. And so we don't play that game. And so we're at a disadvantage in some ways, but it's the only way to absolute truth is to not be one of those people who can be bought. And I'm sorry to say, but many in our parliament, including our beloved Conservative Party, are absolutely bought. And that is why I will not advocate to put one tick down beside Peter McKay or Aaron O'Toole at this point, because of the alliances that are now known, and more is coming out. And, you know, I've done some shows on that, but more and more is coming out of their alliances, and we cannot align with them.
Absolutely. Well, you did a show on Peter McKay's right-hand man.
Yes. Yes.
What was his name? What's his name?
His name is Abed Atiya. So I got corrected. Let me tell you what I got corrected after I put that out, right? I was prepared for crap to maybe, you know, hit the fan. Is that okay to say that on your show here, Barry?
Yep, that's okay.
Say it in that way. Okay. So I was prepared for you know, there to be something. So I heard from somebody who's in on Peter McKay's team, and they said, oh, that's just a pile of lies. I said, okay, well, what parts of the lies? Well, he's not Peter McKay's right-hand man. He just sat beside him a couple times. He's just a volunteer. And I said, okay, fair enough. We're going to go with just the volunteer. But he clearly, he's called on this document the Muslim liaison, right? Right. Well, yeah. He's, you know, he's been given a position. When you're a volunteer in a place, you can have a very high-ranking volunteer position. Right. And so I said, okay, easy to say. You know, he's a volunteer. Also, they said that, and I said, well, then I went on about the volunteers. So when you have volunteers in politics, especially, you really look on their social media. And when the guy has the Muslim Brotherhood sign on front and center of his page, and it's been brought out before, like this is a Muslim Brotherhood guy supporter, a terrorist organization in many parts of the world. It might not have been deemed that yet in Canada, but if we get Derek Sloan in, hopefully it will be. But he's got the Muslim Brotherhood sign front and center. That's not good. You see, if we had that in the People's Party of Canada that I ran for, I mean, they tried to nail us on everything. We were white supremacists. We were this, we were that. And yep, no truth to it at all. But all of us had to guard, like, who are we really? And thank God I was allowed to have the truth of who I really am, which is someone who stands against, you know, child indoctrination and all of that. So then the other thing that I heard was that there was a video that I showed, and they said, well, that's not Ahmed Atiyah in the video. And I said, well, okay, somebody else had written that it was him, so I used their video. You're saying it's not him. I said, could I have that in writing? Would you just mind? I will totally tell everyone it's not him. I just need it in writing from Ahmed. Well, I haven't heard a word about it. And also, you know, they're very Sue, you know, they're litigious. They're a litigious bunch. And so I said, I just want to, you know, and I told the audience, I said, well, it might not be him. You know, they're saying that it's not him. I would like that in writing, and I'll take it completely down so it's not visible. But until then, I think it's only fair that could be him. It looks like him. Next thing they said is that the where it says, you know, kill everybody, kill all the bad people, let God of, you know, Allah avenge and, you know, take away the filth of the Jews. Right. That's a very anti-Semitic statement. The filth of the Jews. How would you like us to say the filth of the Muslims? Right. Is that an appropriate thing to say in Canada? What do you think would happen to your show if we said that? Right.
I'd be in jail.
Yes. You know, you'd be in big trouble. You'd be, you know, taken off the air and totally they would, you know, when they scan.
I'd be in. They'd be in.
The end. So I said, they said that the interpretation is wrong. The writing's wrong. So I took it to an expert and I said, can you just confirm this? And they said, well, yeah, not only it's right, but it should be worse. It shouldn't just be the filth of the Jews. It should be the desecration of the filth of the Jews is actually what they said. And that is not even on the video. So the actual, you know, the translation of what they're saying on this video in a mosque in downtown Toronto. And this mosque is Ahmed Atiyah's father. So this is his father's mosque where his father said, we ascribe to the teachings of the Muslim Brotherhood. And right, of course, again, that is total domination of right, society.
Right.
So I stand by the video that I put out. And, you know, and then we have Waleed Solomon, who is in Aaron O'Toole's camp. Now, Waleed Solomon is very tied in close to the top of Aaron O'Toole's camp. And the things that he has done and said and who he's related to, it's all, you know, it's he supported Sharia banking back in 2007. And I don't know how anyone in, especially in a conservative party anywhere in Canada, we don't support Sharia nothing. Like, just like, let's just go on the record here. Don't bring it up. Don't ask. Don't even think about it, because we don't support Sharia nothing in Canada. Yeah. But come to find out, there is a lot of Sharia banking actually going on. It is actually going on.
It is creeping into our society. and they're being very, very subversive about it.
Laura. Yes.
You know, I know in British Columbia here, and, you know, this might sound far-fetched to people, but I have been given information that there's cells operating in British Columbia right now that are under the protection of the government, that there is sleeper cells operating in Canada right now, all waiting for a particular time to really raise a little havoc in society. And, you know, if you look at Justin Trudeau and what he's trying to do in Canada, well, what better situation to declare martial law and bring the United Nations in and read the Emergencies Act? Justin is looking for any excuse to do that, Laura. And the first opportunity he tried to do it with COVID, and he got shot down. The reach of power that he was reaching for is just unheard of in Canadian history. But we're dealing with a full-blown fascist dictator that is, to me, he's the most evil thing that's ever walked the planet Earth. What has come out of his mouth in the last 4 years, why Canada is not screaming at the top of their lungs, I just don't understand it, Laura. I really agree. Don't understand it. That what he's done is so, so in your face, upside down, turning our society upside down, that why is Canada still silent? It makes me wonder if we've lost this battle. I don't want to say that, but, you know, at this point, there's no denying. It's just look at it, guys, and tell me if any of this makes sense to you. Go ahead.
Until we see the Great Awakening, Barry, until we see the Great Awakening and until we see that people get serious about understanding, like, what is that tipping point? We're not there yet. And I agree with you. Like, it does seem very frightening. But I do think that like a wave in the ocean, when there is a tipping because the water suddenly raises to such a level, We haven't seen it yet, and so the hope is that we get there, and we get there before it's too late, because there will be a great falling away, and maybe, you know, we're seeing that even now, but we pray for that we win in the end. We pray for that, but many will be lost, because you got to go down the narrow path, you know, in order to do the right thing. You got to have integrity. You got to have character. You have to have courage. Do you know, when Revelations talks about all the people that end up in hell, do you know the first group it lists, it's not the adulterers and murderers, it's the cowards. Cowards don't get in. So I don't want to be one of the cowards, Barry. So that's why you and me, we're here every day sounding off, doing what we can, right?
Well, we can't shut up for them. Shut up. You know that. We can't be silent at this point in our lives. We're down to the last 4 minutes here, 3 minutes, Laura. I want you to share really quickly with people where they can find you, your connections on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm going to have to let you go. This hour went very quickly.
Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson on Facebook, Twitter, you know, just put in my name, you'll find me. I'm on YouTube, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. You can find me. LauraLynn.tv, LauraLynn.tv. You can find my website. I just want to say something to your listeners that I do pray that every one of you will support Barry, that you will take a moment today and understand that it costs. There are expenses associated with doing everything he does, and he does it from the goodness of his heart to do the right thing for Canadians. What would it hurt you to just spend $20 a month and send them a $20 donation per month, get on a monthly plan or something, and let and begin to support the work of Barry? I really appreciate, Barry, that you speak the truth. You do it kindly, lovingly, with a sense of humor even, and with real heart. And I do hope that people will support you en masse.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Laura.
You're very welcome. Have a great day, Barry.
We will get you back again, hopefully in the very near future, and carry on this conversation.
You bet. Thank you. I've loved it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Okay, guys, I'm going to be gone here for a couple minutes. I'm going to go empty my horse, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes with Mr. Alex Newman. Hang around. Awesome gentleman coming up. Welcome back. Second hour, folks. And boy, what a conversation with Laura Lynn. You know, of all the guests I've had on in the last 3 or 4 years, I think that one had to be right up in the top of conversations I've enjoyed. And I'm going to get her back very quickly here. And that being said, I am joined here by Alex Newman. Alex writes for the New American Magazine. He is an award-winning journalist. I know you guys have probably heard him on my show a couple times before. I've got to thank Alex for coming in today and spending some time with me. Welcome to the show, Alex. And, you know, I always like to start my shows with your pet peeve of the week. So maybe we can start with that and talk a little bit about what's going on in the United States of America. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Barry. It's great to be with you again. I'm really glad you had Laura Lynn on before. She's an amazing, amazing person. And, yeah, I mean, the United States is... It varies from place to place. You know, it's right now we're actually on the road. We've been through probably 15 states over the last couple of weeks, and it really depends a lot on where you are. When we left Florida, things were still pretty sane. When we were in Georgia, the governor had actually overturned all the local mandates that everybody put a face diaper on their face. There was a couple of cities governed by local tyrants and totalitarians who decided that they were going to force everyone to have a face diaper on. And so the governor overturned that, and it was pretty reasonable up through the Carolinas. But then once we crossed the Mason-Dixon line, which is, you know, the line that separates the northern United States from the southern United States, it started getting more and more intense. And, you know, if you're not going to watch the TV, it's, you know, nothing to worry about. But if you watch, I'm sure you guys have the fakest of all the fake news is CNN. So, you know, you think of the apocalypse and everybody was dying and there was just dead bodies stacked outside the hospital. Of course, it's all baloney. None of it's true, but that's kind of where they're going with this. They want everybody in a tizzy because they're getting us ready to, you know, they want to release this mandatory vaccine and they want everybody to beg for it rather than be begged to take it. So it's, you know, it's hectic. It's unpleasant. And I think more and more people are gradually starting to realize that we're being deceived, but it's, you know, it's not pleasant, as I'm sure is the case in Canada as well right now.
Yeah, what this has done to our society and what it's done to the world in general, Alex, is just, it's unbelievable. What happens to society when a little fear virus is let go, and, well, we saw the response, man. Society ran, hid underneath the couches. And, of course, you know, to me, this has just been a giant test by the government to find out who's going to, you know, abide with the laws, these draconian laws, when they bring them forward, and who's going to speak against it. And I'm sure we're all on a list right now of who's going to go along with the program and who's not. To me, this is the biggest nothing burger that's ever been unleashed on the human race. I've looked at the numbers, and to do what we've done to our economy and to our society over a nothing burger is it's really sad. But it shows you also, Alex, the power of the mainstream media and how much control they have over society. Yeah. You know? Go ahead.
You're exactly right.
Well, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's actually, I'm frankly surprised by it. I didn't expect that there were that many people out there who still believe the media. If you look at the polls, you know, just something like 6 or 7% of people will tell you they believe the media. But I guess they're not quite prepared to accept that everything could be a lie, right? They figure it's, you know, smaller lies here and there, try to get a particular candidate elected, try to make a particular candidate look bad. But, you know, they can't imagine that the whole entire thing would be, you know, manufactured. So it's a shame. And then, you know, if you combine that with the other nothing burgers, the phony racism that they're trying to stir up, you know, they want to start a race war. They want people to hate each other. They want people to think that society is racist and oppressive and all the rest of it. You combine these two together and, you know, you see that you have a recipe for really advancing tyranny and globalism and dismantling the nation state. I mean, you know, the same things that are going on in Canada, we're seeing them here. I just think that in Canada, they're probably even worse than they are in the United States in terms of being able to convince people. But we're pretty much in the same boat, unfortunately. We're just, I think, very fortunate to have President Trump at the helm here who hasn't gone along with it like your dear prime minister there.
So. Our pretty pony. What a work of art this guy, yeah. Alex. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know you're probably aware of the latest scandal that happened up here in the last week, hey, the Wee Charity. Have you been following that at all?
No, what happened?
Oh, the government formed another charity, gave them $1 billion, an unchallenged contract. The government, our Minister of Finance took a $40,000 paid holiday from this organization. And, of course, about 3 weeks later, they were given $1 billion. You got to look it up. It is beyond corruption. It is absolute breaking of the law done by this government. But unfortunately, Alex, it's just going to be like the SNC scandal and everything else that this government has done that deserves criminal prosecution. This will probably just get swept under the rug. And that's, of course, because the government controls the police forces in Canada. Justin Trudeau's appointment of Brenda Leckie as our commissioner, I did some looking into her background, and boy, her global connections are so blatant. And this was Justin Trudeau's handpicked commissioner of the RCMP. And ever since her becoming commissioner, the RCMP pretty well refused to look at any potential criminal charges against our government. SNC-Lavalin was a blatant breaking of the law. Absolutely black and white, no questions asked. And yet we still hear crickets from the RCMP in Canada. That's how much control the government has in this country, Alex.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very much like what's going on here. You know, the same thing with the corruption of the law enforcement. You've got an FBI that seems to basically exist to protect criminals and persecute the innocent. But we have seen some really incredible things in terms of justice. I don't know how closely you guys followed the takedown of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who was Trump's first national security advisor. I mean, this is a man of principle. He was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He knew where all the bodies were buried. He very vociferously complained when the Obama administration was sending heavy weaponry to Al-Qaeda and jihadist terrorists in Syria and in Libya. He actually went on international television and called them out. He said, that's the dumbest thing they could have done. What in the world? And so Trump made him the National Security Advisor. And right away, the gallant FBI sprang into action to destroy him. And, you know, just in the last few weeks now, it's been an incredible turn of events. We've got a lot of the documents that came out proving that they had set out from the beginning. Their mission was to entrap him, to frame him in a way that they could at least get him out of office and at best prosecute him. And again, we know because we have the documents that that's what they were trying to do. We know they were illegally spying on the incoming administration. They were spying on the president, the vice president, the National Security Advisor, you know, some of the highest-ranking officials in the U.S. government. They lied to the court to be able to do that. And, you know, now it's all come out, but the media is so hyper-focused on the phony coronavirus crisis and the phony racism crisis that they have been able to completely ignore any mention of that. So the Department of Justice finally asked all the charges to be thrown out against General Flynn. And instead of throwing the charges out, the corrupt judge on the case refused. It went up to an appeals court. The appeals court said, no, you got to throw the charges out. This is a fake case from the beginning. Of course, you got to throw the charges out. So they kicked it back down to the lower court judge with instructions to throw it out. And he refused. He's still refusing. And so now he's trying every legal maneuver possible to keep General Flynn on the hook. And, you know, it just shows you how the deep state works. When somebody comes in who's not part of their game, they will do everything in their power and then some to destroy them. And, you know, it's incredible how this has now come out into the open, and yet the criminals responsible are still running around free, and the innocent are still facing legal troubles. So it's incredible.
I guess that would be my question, Alex. You know, I've been following this for months now, with what went on with the Trump administration, the spying, all the false documents, the FISA courts, everything that was done there, to the falsification of documents, and, you know, Christopher Steele's involvement, Peter Strzok's involvement. My question is, when is somebody going to go to jail? Because, you know, these people are criminal, and yet they're still walking free. I think before America's even going to have a chance to ever heal, that these people need to be locked up and set an example for people in the future. Yet we still don't see that. I know a lot of Americans are asking that same question right now. Alex, when are we going to see them in jail? Is that coming? It has to come.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are asking right now. And, you know, the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, has assigned a special prosecutor to look into all this, the attorney or the assistant U.S. attorney, Durham. But he's been working on this case for a very long time, and they keep kind of teasing, oh, indictments are coming, we're investigating, we're doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, we're, the clock is running down, right? We're a few months away from the election. I mean, they should have filed charges last year if there was anything to file charges about, and we know there is. I mean, we've got smoking gun, we've got the documents, we know they've been involved in criminal activity, and yet so far nothing has been filed. There's no indictments. So, yeah, it looks like they're just trying to run out the clock here. They hope that the election will come and the next incoming administration, if Trump doesn't win, and their plan is to make sure Trump doesn't win at all costs, even if that means stuffing the ballot boxes with millions of fake votes. They think that it, and hopefully the next administration can just sweep it all under the carpet and we'll just forget anything happened. I mean, keep in mind, even Joe Biden is involved in this, right, and his son. We've got a video of Joe Biden bragging in public at the Council on Foreign Relations, which is one of the worst deep state organizations in this country, bragging about how they used $1 billion in foreign aid to bludgeon the Ukrainian government into dropping the charges on Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who was running incredibly corrupt deals, and he was being paid $50,000 a month to sit on the board of a major oil and energy company, the Burisma Holdings. And then Joe Biden is bragging about how his vice president, they waved $1 billion in their face and said, if you want this money, you got to get the prosecutor general to resign so that Hunter Biden will not be prosecuted. I mean, it's like third world country stuff. It's banana republic stuff. And again, the criminals are still running around free. And the people who've been trying to stop all of this are the ones facing persecution from the law. It really is incredible. And the outcome of this battle, I think, is going to determine the direction that the country goes in. And if the criminals are allowed to get away after all these crimes without facing justice, we're going to see much, much more crime at the highest levels in the months ahead and in the years ahead. But if there is some justice, maybe, you know, it'll send a powerful lesson going forward. But, again, we're almost out of time now. You know, we're just a few months out from the election, and depending on what happens in the election. And they're already psychologically preparing us for a disaster of an election. We've covered this extensively at the New American Magazine. You know, the establishment is already psychologically conditioning people for a contested election and violence and, you know, cities, more cities burning. So it's looking like things are going to get ugly. And I think these people would gladly burn down the whole country before they'll go serve a day in prison. So
social chaos is the order of the day, Alex. And boy, I tell you, yep. The next couple months is going to be a critical time, I believe, in history. Where we're going as a society, whether we're going to allow these people to get away with this stuff. And, of course, we could talk about the same thing in Canada, that we have a government that is absolutely treasonous against the Canadian people, is black and white what their intentions are for this country, and yet they're running around free. I believe a time is going to come where we either stand and this comes to an end and we get some resemblance of law and order back in our society, or we're going to completely lose it. It's going to go one way or the other. I don't believe the window of opportunity to stop it is that big anymore. I believe the window is closing, but I believe the window is still there.
Yeah.
No. But we got to act, man. We've got to get people involved, Alex. How do you do that? How do you make people understand? And this is something I don't understand with society. You know, we all have children. We all love our kids. We want the best for our families, want the best for our future. Yet we see our countries being destroyed right in front of our faces, and we're not willing to stand up and do something about it. You know, my forefather was, my grandparents were in the war, and I lost relatives fighting for our freedom. And those people are rolling in their graves right now. Alex, we're giving it all up with no contention at all. It baffles me, my friend. It really baffles me. To me, it's the most important thing in my life right now to try and stop this madness that we see coming.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do. I mean, you know, the stakes are so high, not just for our children and for our grandchildren, but for us. You know, if the totalitarians get their way, the freedoms that our grandparents fought for, you know, like you, my grandpa was in World War II, fighting fascists, fighting tyrants, fighting totalitarians. Later, my dad was in the military fighting against communists, and here we are. Now the enemy's at the gate. They want our freedom. They want our children. They want our country. And, you know, that's how high the stakes are. And, you know, this isn't something that's hypothetical that, you know, maybe our grandchildren are going to suffer. This is something that is just right around the corner. But in terms of what can be done about it, you know, I think the most obvious thing is, first of all, becoming well-informed ourselves. And, you know, one way to do that is, of course, to listen to radio broadcasts like this one and share it with your friends. And for people who are readers, and I recommend that everybody be a reader, you know, that's where they hide all the secrets is in the library, right? you know, get a subscription to the New American Magazine. What we say in there about the United States is just as relevant to the people of Canada. And, you know, the first rule of an engagement like this is you have to have accurate information. You have to have accurate intelligence. Any military person can tell you without any intelligence, you lost the war before you started. If you don't know, you know, what's going on, then how in the world could you possibly resist? How in the world could you possibly have a successful engagement? And the answer is you can't. So you need good information. You need to understand what's going on. And the New American Magazine is a very good way to do that. We do ship it into Canada for people who want access to it. You can go online and get it for free. It's thenewamerican.com. You can sign up for our daily email headlines, and you'll get, you know, five articles about what's going on. It's spread around the world and in Canada and in Europe and in Asia. And, you know, I think that's a good starting point is for people to get well-informed about what's going on coronavirus, on riots, on globalism, on the United Nations, and then to disseminate that information into our communities, you know, trying to reach opinion molders first, people who have the ability to help us get the truth out. And that's one thing that we have as an incredible advantage on our side is the fact that, you know, the truth is on our side. Yes, the other side's got a lot of propaganda capabilities. They've got a lot of money. But, you know, selling lies and selling tyranny is very, very difficult because people don't want to be slaves. And people, at least nominally, want to know the truth. They don't want to be deceived. And so we have that that incredible advantage, which is, I think, how we've been able to hold out so long.
We have got a battle on our hands right now. That's all I know. And I see it accelerating on the left side at light speed right now. What's coming next? You know, I have to go by what my Bible tells me about this particular time in history. I see everything that Revelation talks about coming to fruition right now. It's like reading a newspaper. Yeah. Alex. And, you know, if I didn't have a spiritual connection right now in my life, buddy, and I'm not a perfect person, but if I didn't have that connection right now, I honestly think I would lose my mind because the world is going crazy. And if you allow it to suck you in, you're going to just be as crazy as the rest of the world. It is a very, very, very crazy time. But you know what? We've kind of been talking about this time that's coming for years. I was aware that there was going to come a time when society was going to be turned upside down, that they would possibly destroy our society. Society was either the collapse of the dollar or possibly a worldwide pandemic that would lock down the planet. We talked about this 3 or 4 years ago, and here it is right in our face. I don't believe that this COVID-19 thing will ever go away now myself, Alex. I think that they have achieved a new level of power that has caused them to become drunk with power, that we're going to see a second wave, and then we're going to see a third wave. And then maybe they just might unleash something that's got some real knockdown power. Boy, would they be able to lock us down, bud. My thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah.
You think it's ever going to be the same?
I think you're exactly right. And, I mean, they're psychologically preparing for us for that already. You know, I was just looking at the news yesterday, and you have all these articles about this is the new normal and coronavirus is never going to go away, and you might be able to get it after you've already gotten it. So you're you know, forever you're going to have to live as a slave, no more freedom. You know, they're threatening now with a COVID-20, which is supposedly be more dangerous. And you're right. Once they take liberties, it becomes very, very difficult to get them back. And so, you know, the totalitarians have tasted this raw power, you know, where you just have governors and mayors or, you know, in Canada, provincial leaders just, you know, making these crazy decrees. You're essential. You're not essential. This business has to stay shut down. That church can't open. You can't sing in your church. You got to put a diaper on your face. You know, just willy-nilly, completely arbitrary. And if you look in the dictionary, the definition of tyranny is arbitrary rule. Right? There's no rule of law anymore. It's just they decide on a day-by-day basis, we think you need to do this, we think you need to do that. And the idea that that's all just going to fade away is ludicrous. You know, you mentioned several things there about what may be coming, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, we have some economic turmoil in the cards, especially with the U.S. dollar. But obviously, you know, you guys being sharing an enormous border with us and having your economy completely interdependent with ours, I mean, the Canadians are going to be just as affected as the Americans will be as a result of this. Then you have, you know, push for a mandatory vaccine, and they've been psychologically preparing us for this for months, right? Oh, yeah, everything's bad now, but don't worry, you know, everybody's going to get a vaccine, and they want us practically begging for it, but that's, you know, that's also in the cards. And, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better if something doesn't change. And so, you know, I love what you said earlier. You know, now is the time to get right with God. Make sure you're reading your Bible. Make sure you know. Make sure you know the Lord, because as you very wisely pointed out, you know, without that connection, it would be very, very difficult to maintain one's sanity in the face of what's going on and in the face of what's coming. So,
yeah, the Holy Spirit is a very, very powerful thing, and when He touches your life, you're never the same, Alex. And like I said, I'm not perfect, but boy, I start my day with prayer, because I see what He's telling me about the particular time we're in right now, what's coming in the future. We see it unfolding, and it's kind of exciting because we're sitting here in a front row seat, and we get to see this unfold. I guess that we were chosen to be here at this particular time in history. I don't have the answer to that question or not, but we're definitely seeing end time prophecies fulfilled in front of our face that a very accelerated rate. And I have to go with what He tells me about what's coming in the future. I have to put my faith in that. He's told me what the past was. He's told me what's happening right now and what to look for. And He tells me what's coming in the future. And I've got to go with that, man. I got to stand in my truth.
Amen.
Well, we got to stand in our truth at one point in our life. You know, earlier in my life, Alex, I couldn't take this stand. You know, I was always kind of sitting on the fence, but at this point in my life, I don't care what people think about me, buddy. I know the most important thing in my life is my connection with Jesus Christ. So all that being said, we are seeing some things unfold here in the next couple of years that I believe are going to shake humanity right to the core, that we're going to continually lose our freedoms, continually. But like I said, they've reached a new level of power now over the human race, that all they had to do was release a little fear virus in society. And that's what it is. It's nothing else, man. I've looked at all the numbers, and I've looked at hundreds of different reports. I've listened to knowledgeable doctors all over North America talk about this virus. And to say that it's the biggest scam ever played on the human race would be an understatement. But it shows you the power of the mainstream media, Alex, and how they have ramped this up.
You're right. You said some really important things there, Barry. And I think, you know, the key thing for Christians to remember is the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. So, you know, if your pastor is fearful, they're trying to terrorize you, you know, that's a problem. We should not be fearful at this time. We should not be fearful ever. Fear is a dangerous emotion. You know, there's a reason why people experience it, but you tend to make very bad decisions when you're making decisions under the influence of fear. And so I think it's really important for everybody to guard against that. You know, and one of the simple ways to do it is just turn off the TV, right? I mean,
it's the best thing you can do.
Giant psyop.
They don't call it programming for nothing, Alex.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, I saw a great little meme. It was some Amish people, and one of the Amish guys says to the other, he's like, oh, I wonder why COVID-1984 hasn't affected us very badly. And he said, oh, it's because we don't have TVs. And that's the truth. You know, the people who sit there and stare at their TV all day, they live in absolute terror, and that's no way to live your life, being fearful of your fellow man and being fearful of your family and being fearful of your friends. And it's craziness, and we can't live like that. We cannot allow them to say that this is going to be the new normal. It's just inconceivable, and I'm hoping that people will gradually wake up, you know, as this drags on and on and on for more months. You know, it's just started off, we're just going to flatten the curve, and, you know, everybody's going to get it eventually, but right now we just need to flatten the curve. Now we completely forgot about that, right? Now it's like we need to hide in our basements forever until they give us a vaccine. I mean, no, it's not going to happen. But that's what they're pushing, and we need to be wise to what's going on. So,
Education is the most important thing right now, Alex. And I think that anytime we get a chance to talk to somebody, we have to take that opportunity, because we're getting to a situation where their power base is expanding every week. Their power base is expanding, and it might get to a point where we can't put a stop to this. They're gonna bring in mandatory vaccines in Canada. I mean, that's Trudeau's playbook, and I believe that a lot of people, a majority, I hope I'm right in saying that a majority of Canadians will say no. But I know there'll be a large percentage of the population that'll roll up their sleeves. So hopefully we don't get to that point. But who knows? I don't have a crystal ball. We can just go by what we're seeing right now. And it's the playbook is pretty obvious where they're taking us and how they're trying to do it. We have to be aware of that, folks, and we have to put a stop to it. We really do. I know you told me you could only stay for half an hour today, Alex. So if you do have to run, I'll continue on a conversation with my producer for the last half hour. And if that's the case, I'd like to share with people where people can find you again real quickly. And hopefully I can get you back on again in the near future and we can get a full hour in with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me again, Barry. It's always a pleasure. The best place to go find my articles is at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. You can follow me on Twitter. It's AlexNewman_JOU for journalism. And Facebook is AlexJNewman86. And thanks again for having me on, gentlemen. It's been wonderful as always, and I'll look forward to the next one.
Thanks for coming in, Alex. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Hey, thank you, guys. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, I didn't know that he could only stay for half an hour today, but that's all fine. A good half hour with him is a good half hour. So I want to thank Alex for coming in. And Steve, what do you think about what we've been talking about today? Because you're going to...
I'm going to what? You cut yourself off too quick. And
oops, I cut myself off.
Yeah, you...
Sorry, yeah, I was talking and nobody heard me.
No, you...
Don't you love amateur radio, man?
Well, you asked me what I thought, and then you said... Well, I don't remember what it was, but you muted yourself, and you muted yourself too quick, so I didn't really catch the whole thing.
Okay, well, I didn't know that he could only say for half an hour today, Steve, but
right.
All
he right.
said, what are your thoughts on what we've been talking about today? Because I know you've got some thoughts on COVID-19.
Well, of course I have thoughts on COVID-19.
Well, let's hear a few of them.
Well, I've thought from day one it's been a military operation, a military psychological operation. That's what PSYOP means. A lot of us have known, in case people don't really know out there, the CIA... Well, first, it was the military intelligence, and then it was called the CIA. They started Hollywood, and they started and funded Hollywood, and they pretty much started and funded the news agencies, the televised news agencies with Project Monarch.
Right.
Did you actually know that?
I was aware of that. I haven't looked into probably as much as you have.
Well, you know, how can anyone with two or three brain cells that rub together think that an agency that starts something and funds something is not controlling it?
Well, of course, that would only make sense, Steve.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Well, I mean, look at the internet. It was started with... First, military intelligence, and then CIA, and I can't remember who else was, but, CIA, NSA money. So, virtually, military intelligence, CIA, NSA money. Well, started with the internet. And I don't care what anybody says. They can scream at me when they turn blue in the face. The military intelligence, or the CIA, NSA, all three agencies, or one, whether they're combined or not, are still controlling the internet.
Of course. Yeah, I understand that. I agree with you 100%, Steve. I know that the CIA was responsible for starting the internet. What their end game of starting it was, I think about that a lot. What do you think their end game was allowing us to share this kind of information like we do today, Steve? That wasn't around 30 years ago. Well, now it's here. We can find out anything we want about anything.
It was in 2 minutes. It was around 30, 40, 50 years ago. There are people. There are people doing this today. They're in their 80s, and a couple of them are close to 90. Jordan Maxwell is one of them. G. Edward Griffith is another one. They both started this, their journey, in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, between, but they didn't have the access to the worldwide audience. No. That's what I'm saying.
No, but they did have access to...
I know that there have been people involved in speaking against this for years and years and years, 40, 50 years, but they haven't had the access to worldwide audiences like we do now. So what is the objective of allowing us to expose this information to the world? It's kind of a thought.
Well, you know, I have to argue with you. The information
I like an argument.
The information was... The information was out there. It just wasn't as readily available as what it is today. People had to, those two or three or more people that I mentioned, they had to dig and do a lot more extensive research than what you and I have today.
You had to want to find.
Yes. And you had to, you just didn't have 18,000 YouTube channels out there back in the 60s and 70s that told about all this stuff, but it took them a whole lot longer to get that information, but it was still out there.
Yeah, I agree. But now we're in a situation where people are sending links to people all over the place, and it's inevitable that you're going to see links that really start to hit on some of the evil that we see in our world. People weren't looking for it in the past because they weren't aware that it existed. It was so well hidden. I mean, you look at the Bilderberg meetings, man. How many years did they go on before it was finally exposed? You could say the same thing about the Bohemian Grove, that it's been going on for years and years and years, and it was only brought to the public's attention, in the last 20, 25 years, what actually goes on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, this stuff's been going on for a long, long time, Steve. I know that. But most people are too busy raising their families and going about enjoying their lives that, you know, they weren't aware that this was going on. I mean, my dad wasn't aware of the United Nations agenda to destroy our country. Back when he was a kid, or he would have probably stood up against it. That information wasn't readily available and it wasn't in their face. Now we have that in our face. There's no hiding from it anymore. Period. It's there.
Correct. Yes.
So we're in a different time now where, you know, I know that the CIA, I've heard this many times. I think Roger actually mentioned this to me one time, that they were responsible for starting the internet. So if that's the case, there's always an end game to anything they do, I believe. So what is the end game? To cause a public uprising at one point in society? Maybe. Lots of different thoughts. What do you think? What would be the end game, Steve?
You know, I believe...
I know I'm digging deep. I'm digging deep.
Well, I'm not so sure. You know, the Georgia Guidestones, they have this conspiracy going back to 40 years. That was 1980 when they were commissioned and first built. So that's 40 years ago. But they have had this idea for... at least 2 millennium. Yeah. 2,000 years. Probably even 6,000 years. You see, I believe that these people actually think that they are special. The royals,
the bloodlines of the Illuminati.
The bloodlines, yes.
Good. Yes, I've studied it.
Very, very good description for it. Right there, the bloodlines. The 13 bloodlines.
Yes.
The 13 families.
All the connections with politicians today. It'll amaze you.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all cousins.
Yeah, they're all part of a big party, man.
Not very far removed. Exactly. I mean, there are some 7, 8, 9, 9th cousins, but you know, that's only that's not a real big thing as far as being a cousin, but I believe that these people do really think that they're special. They think they have royal blood. And they have been told for at least 6,000 years of the recorded time the recorded historical time. That's what we can place a number on, going back to the some of the oldest writings, the 6,000 years.
Yep.
They do call themselves kings, queens.
Yep.
In England, you know, there's all sorts of nobility. There's dukes, duchesses. People can be knighted as a sir. Look at some of these actors and stuff like that. Some of these dignitaries that do their special bidding, they're granted a knighthood. And knights was another one, too. Knights of the Round Table. I believe that those things actually existed up until, I don't know when the historical facts go back there, but I think that those people actually had that title.
Well, history is a fascinating subject, Steve, and it's being taken away from us right now. Why do they want to remove history? Well, history repeats itself, doesn't it?
Well, it's...
It will again.
It does repeat itself. And the reason that they want to control the history is they want to control the narrative.
Of course. Of course, they want to bring in a new history.
Well, not so much. New history, whatever you want. Yeah. I guess that's a pretty good description there, but.
Well, yeah. What else would you call it? I mean, what they're doing right now is social engineering society. And removing history is part of that, of course. They don't want people to understand what
happened. Well, they know by scientifically studying us, 3 generations, you can make a lie true. Doesn't matter what that lie is. It only takes 3 generations. That's just a number of... That's your lifetime and my lifetime.
So when is the lie about 9/11 finally going to be dealt with in our society, Steve? Why hasn't that been dealt with? I mean,
why did they have to deal with it?
More information contradicting what the government says in the history of the world.
It doesn't really matter.
People are still running around. How come?
Why? It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter who knows the truth. I caught a Canadian TV series. It was called, I got to get this right. I've lost the name of it right now, anyways, but I'd have to search it up. I know I know one of the actors' names, and I'd have to search him up. Anyways, but the entire premise was there was this young man. He was in his mid-20s, late-20s, somewhere in there, but he ended up being recruited by an intelligence service. And it was the U.S. intelligence service, so It was basically set in America here, but I think it was probably filmed in Canada. The entire premise was this young man, he come across some information because his mentor, the guy that brought him in, had been murdered. He had clearly thought he'd been murdered, but he wasn't sure. He was sent little tidbits of information to uncover, you know, a little crumb trail, if you want to call it that. And he followed one lead to another and one lead to another, which ultimately proved that his mentor had been killed. He had followed more and more crumbs and uncovered more and more evidence that showed what we call a false flag attack. They didn't really say that's what it was in the TV series, but that's what it is, a false flag attack.
Right.
And well, at the very end, he confronted his highest superior in that particular district, I guess you call it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a district, and he had to follow all kinds of leads, go all over the country and sometimes all over the world and uncover more pieces of a puzzle. And all the evidence led back to a secret society, a number of good old boys that had been murdered off because they didn't really want to go along with the program. and his highest superior in his group there, he confronted him and said, I know you've planned all this, and I know you put all this together, and I know you did all this, and I'm gonna expose you. I'm gonna go to the press. I'm gonna go to everybody. And the guy says, so what? Go ahead. He basically didn't care because he knew that the media and everything that was going to be exposed was controlled by him and his lackeys, just like it is, just like we believe it is.
To control the media, you're never going to get the truth.
Well, exactly, exactly. You're never going to get the entire truth unless the media is destroyed.
Exactly. I know a lot of people here in Canada, Steve, they go home, they turn on CBC or CTV or Global every night, and they drink that Kool-Aid, and then they go to bed, and they take that as truth. Boy, I'll tell you. When you
did I ever tell you the story about the media?
Well, the thing is, the point I'm making, Steve, is that you control the media, you will control the masses.
Uh-huh.
Never have we seen a better example of that than COVID-19. Go
right.
ahead, tell us the story.
Well, not so much the media, but the media goes along with it. I'll tell you another little story about that. But there's a man. He's a Canadian now. I think he's a naturalized citizen. Alan Watt is his name. Have you ever heard of that name?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, he said he was born a Scot. He was born in Scotland. And as a young boy, him and his family moved to outside of the Toronto area. And that's where he lives now. He said when he was a young boy in Scotland, there was a park near his home where, you know, you could go to this particular park and there would be 800 to 1,000 people. It was a big park doing stuff what people do at parks. And virtually overnight, when television came in, you couldn't find 50 people in that same park. A few weeks later, just a month later, after television come to that park. That was in the early 50s or mid-50s, whatever that was.
Yep.
TV.
Yeah, you had to have a TV, man. You weren't keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And along came the programming.
Yeah. TV has virtually enthralled the world, captured the world.
Of course it has. That's why the best thing you can do in your life is throw the TV out the window. And I did that. Like I said, Steve, I threw mine out about 6 years ago. I cut the wire.
Uh-huh.
I won't listen to mainstream media at all because it's completely controlled. People got to realize that there's 8 or 9 families controlling that everything that
Six.
You hear and read and understand in society today.
Six
is controlled
men,
by
yes.
a very, very small group of people.
Six men.
You'll never get the truth. Never.
Six men own 93% of the world's media, yes.
Yeah, okay. It's a very, very small number. Anyways, it's ridiculous. And when these people are all in the big boys club, what kind of control are they going to implement on our media, man? You can't get truth in media. Our media should be held for treason and destruction of our country right now, especially the CBC, because they are so, so biased that they don't put out any truth to Canadians about what actually is going on in our country. Lately, that's been changing, Steve, because they've been forced to expose some of it if they want to keep any kind of credibility at all. They don't want to talk against Justin Trudeau, but unfortunately, they're being forced to right now. So we've got some interesting things going on up here right now. If our government gets away with this last scandal, and it's only starting to come out now, everything that the government had their fingers in with the We Charity, how it was a revolving door, how millions and millions and millions of dollars were siphoned out of that organization to pay family members and trips. It all is going to start coming out here in the next couple of days. If this government gets away with that, then we've lost this country, period.
Right. No, that's I wanted to answer a question instead of typing the answer to Lori. Alan Watts was a philosopher and writer back in the 60s and 70s. This man is named Alan Watt, with no S on the end there. So, Alan Watts died in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, but this Alan Watt is alive and still doing his thing.
Lori typed in there that Jordan Maxwell had a heart attack. I wasn't aware of that. So my prayers are definitely out for that man.
Well, it's not surprising. It's not surprising because he's near 90, or he's over 90, one or the other.
Is he that old, Steve? I didn't
yes.
I thought he was his 70s, man.
No, no. He's been doing this about 60 years. Over 60 years, I think.
He doesn't look 90 to me. At least he did in the last video that he did.
Well, he doesn't get out in the sun much. He's a researcher.
Well, yeah, but anything that he has put out in the past, I make a point of following and listen to what he has to say because he's a very, very logical man. How he looks at everything with a common sense approach, I really like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we got to look at everything right now. There is no common sense left in our world, Steve. None. And yeah, 9/11, I won't go back to that subject, but it's one subject that I like talking about it, Steve, because you know what? That was a wake-up call point in my life where I kind of was just going along, going fishing, enjoying my life, doing this, doing that. And I sat down one night, and a lot of people tell you the same thing that I'm saying right now, that that was their wake-up call. So kudos to Richard Gage and Architects for Truth 9/11 for waking me up. And I wish I hadn't. I wish I could just go back fishing, but I can't now.
Yeah. Ray just put in the chat. Chat there that Maxwell started in 59, and I actually had J. Edward Griffin on back last year, and I think he was awakened. I think he told me he was awakened in 59, but he didn't really start researching until like 61 or 62, and then he didn't really come out like till like 64. So it's been a long, long time.
I'm trying to remember.
Jordan is.
Who wrote the book, The Emperor Has No Clothes?
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Okay. Maxwell
Somebody
is.
Help me.
Maxwell. Maxwell is 80. He's not 90.
He's 80. Yeah, I didn't think he was 90. I mean, it doesn't look. Maybe he hides his age well, but regardless, the fact that he had a heart attack, I hope he's okay. Because he's a great man and very, very knowledgeable.
Yes, he is.
World,
yeah.
Guys like that, they really do. Yep. A voice of reason in a world of insanity.
Yep.
The world is going crazy, Steve.
Yes. Well, his
light speed.
I haven't caught much of anything from him from years and years, but I think his research is mainly on the Vatican and the Jesuits, and he also studies a lot of ancient Egyptian occult, ancient Babylonian occult.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think the Catholic Church is still a good name, a good word, man, and I hate the rain on your parade, but the Catholic Church was taken over by the Jesuits in the 17th century. That every piece of symbolism in the Catholic the Vatican is a demonic symbol. Take a look at the symbolism. Take a look at their checkerboard floors all through the establishment of the Vatican. It's all checkerboard. Take a look at all the satanic symbols in the Vatican and tell me they're a Christian organization, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Did you know that the American government broke ties after the Lincoln assassination with the Vatican and the Jesuits?
I know that. Yeah, I know that because the Vatican was behind, of course, Lincoln's assassination. I looked at that.
Yeah,
the history of that, and it all made sense.
Yep.
The last person that ever really spoke truth in this country was John F. Kennedy.
Yep.
And the one speech he made got him shot.
Well, they were behind that too, though.
Well, I know they were.
All roads still lead to Rome.
All roads lead to Jesuits, Freemasons, high-level Freemasons that are running the planet, man.
And actually,
I mean, the Bohemian Grove, you know, that's been going on. I don't want to make a misquote here, but I looked at it a couple times, and I'm going by memory right now, and if anybody out there wants to correct me on it, but I believe it's been going on for about 70 years now.
Laurie said Hans Christian Andersen wrote that book.
Hans Christian Andersen?
Hans Christian.
Emperor Has No Clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Huh. Well, it's just a book that, thanks for the information, Laurie. It's a book that Rick Simpson refers to all the time, and I don't recognize that name as the author. Maybe he's talking about something else. I know that Rick has told me that he was actually going to be coming on this week, Steve, but he said in 2 weeks from now, he's definitely going to come on for an hour, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him for a couple of years. He had a stroke.
The Rick Simpson that's been doing all the CBD oil for years and years?
Rick Simpson was the man that really brought to the public's attention the effects of medical cannabis oil on the human being. He was kind of a forefront in Canada. He's living in Zagreb right now.
Living where?
in Zagra.
Where's that?
It's over near in Croatia, I believe, or just.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's over there somewhere.
Right.
I saw it on a map once, but he's not coming back to Canada because they want to arrest him.
I'm sure.
Of course, exposing cannabis oil is something that's beneficial to the human body.
I'm sure.
I know that man. I know that man's directly responsible, Steve, and I'm not exaggerating, for probably helping hundreds and hundreds of people beat cancer in their life.
Well, I'm sure.
I've seen cancer four times now, or five times in my community, by using cannabis oil. Full remission.
The U.S. government wants to arrest Jim Humble, too.
Well, yeah, because MMS. They don't want the truth out there, bud.
Right.
And that's a real threat to Big Pharma. But, you know, the good thing about this, Steve, is now that the restrictions on cannabis are being loosened all over the planet, that research is being done and information is coming forward and all that, just have people's jaws dropping the effects of cannabinoids on the human body. It's incredible.
Well, Lori just said that.
The sooner we bring it forward, the better off we're going
to
be.
Yeah. Lori just said that Rick Sepps has been on this station a few times.
Yeah, no, I actually, in 2013, Steve, I did a tour of British Columbia with Rick Simpson.
Uh-huh.
I set up a road trip for him, and we did 9 different venues all over the province. I got an old motor home, and me and Rick Simpson drove around the province for 3 weeks. And it was the best time I've ever had in my life.
Uh-huh.
Two old guys driving down the highway in an old motorhome with a big sign on the back said, "Honk if you support cannabis medical oil."
And, right.
I'll tell you, all over British Columbia, we were getting honks left, right, and center. People come up and look in, and, you know, he's quite famous, actually, in Canada.
Yeah,
but he's a really good friend of mine. And he had a stroke. He's been a little bit sick for the last year, but he's going to get on with me in a couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah,
great guy. Great guy.
How long has it been? How long has it been available in Canada? CBD oils? Do you know? Or
you can the stuff without THC, without the THC, has been available for I don't want to misquote myself. I believe about 6 or 7 years now. It's been available in Canada, but without the THC.
Uh huh.
THC, you know, folks, is really part of the cannabis plant. The CBDs and the CBLs are essential. They're part of the healing process. But THC, believe it or not, is part of the plant, and it was put in there for a reason. It sedates the body. And when the body is sedated is when the body does its best healing. So
sure.
Take THC out of the oil, you're actually depriving yourself of one of the things that was meant to be in there.
Yeah.
When I make oil for people that are dealing with cancer, Steve, It is real oil. It has THC in it.
Yeah.
But you can wean people on it in such a way that they don't get zonked out of their tree and get paranoid and a little freaked out over a buzz that will disappear after 12 hours. Anyways, it put in there for you to allow your body to relax.
Uh-huh.
And to take it out, you're depriving yourself of one of the critical elements. But
yeah.
The oils have been available in Canada. I don't want to misquote myself. I know they've relaxed a lot of the restrictions on edibles now in Canada, but I don't know for sure, Steve, if real cannabis oil with THC is yet decriminalized in Canada, if you're allowed to use it yet. I'm not sure. I live here. I should know that. But,
well, I'm not.
I don't follow the government too much.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much longer you want to go, but it's about 3 minutes till the hour. But we do have Sean McGuire in the network. He's been on radio like nine years or so, 9 or 10. I don't know. Been on quite a few years on, well, first it was TNS radio, and then it turned to MSI radio, and now it's People's Internet, PIR.
Right.
He went to Canada. He went to Canada, it seems like, about 5 years ago because he's got a lot of health problems, and he just can't get cannabis or CBD over in Ireland. Just can't get it. But he went to Canada and he got some treatments and stuff and come back and said he felt a lot better. But you know, if you don't get the stuff, you digress in your treatments and that, you know.
Well, yeah, it's a shame that we still, in the year 2020, with all the information out there about the effects of cannabis on the human body, that we still have countries that are making it hard for their citizens to get a hand on it. It's a travesty on our society.
Not hard.
It really is. that one day I believe, you know, I honestly believe, see that one day in the future, we will be able to go back on these bodies that kept this from us. For the suffering that's been put on the human race because they've kept it away from us. I believe it will be holding, we'll be able to hold them to account one day. I really do. I believe we'll be able to hold doctors to account that will write your prescription one week and write your prescription the next week. They know about the levels of analyticals in bodies. They know that interaction with drugs is killing people at a rate, I believe, is number three killer in the United States of America. It's all money, money, money. They don't give a crap about you.
No.
A doctor is the biggest hypocrite in the world. Because I'm telling you, folks, the natural is the way to heal your body. And I could give you testimony right now in my own life, Steve, and I have before about the effects of Viagra, how I actually healed a completely torn ACL. And folks, look this up on the internet. That an ACL, when it's completely torn in your knee, medical science, medical doctors will tell you that the only way that that can be healed, Steve, is with surgery.
Right.
It's impossible to heal it without surgery. Well, folks, I went into my little book here. It's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. And I wrote, I went to the chapter on torn ACL, Steve, and they told me to go into my woods here and get some stinging nettle and some comforting to wrap my knee with it, folks. Well, I did that for 6 weeks in a row. And then I had another MRI done on my knee, and the ACL in my left knee completely healed.
Uh-huh.
And I played hockey on it this year, Steve, and I wasn't going to be able to play. I was going to get surgery and then a four-month recovery period, blah, 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 blah. Well, folks, don't listen to them. Don't. Question everything. The best money you can spend, folks, and I've said this on my show before, go down to the bookstore and get this book. It's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. Go spend the $30 or $35, whatever it's going to cost you. It's the best investment you'll ever make in your life, bar none.
Uh-huh.
There you go. My rant for the day.
Well,
I'm going to let you go, Steve. I know you, I mean, I've been on for a couple hours here, and I've got my daughter coming over for supper here tonight, so I'm going to be making her dinner here. And I've got some shrimp to cook up, and we're going to make stir fry. So I'll be back next week, folks, the same time, same place. Thanks for filling in for a little bit, Steve. And hey, thanks for producing my show, Steve. I really appreciate what you do for me, bud.
Yeah, you're welcome. Really appreciate it. And if anyone out there likes what we're doing, please hit that donate button. Throw a few quid in there.
Yeah, it's a good investment, folks. Okay, well, that wraps it up for this week, Steve. It wasn't normal my orthodox ending, but we'll just say goodbye, and I will be back next week. Same time, same place, guys.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.